Salary, well, we call him Salary. You know Mr. Sal. He's a part of that class. Why don't you give him a hand? He's going to come and just share what's ever on his heart. Now get right behind him. This is the first time he's got up to speak.
Anyway, as Steve said, this is the first, I've never spoken in front of more than about four people before, so I'm glad the Holy Spirit's in charge because I'm not. Anyway, I had a message all planned from the time Steve told me about what we're going to do, and all of a sudden there was one of those, I had talked to Josh, and he mentioned something, and as soon as he said it, I knew my message was out the window, and I went with Plan B, which was worked on little bit of guidelines this afternoon, so this is it. Anyway, one of the things that God put on my heart was everybody here has a story. Like Vaughn, his five kids were born in different continents. Steve's here from Australia. Everybody here has something totally different that got them to this point. The thing that we all have in common is Jesus is the heart of the whole thing. No matter what good, bad, or indifferent goes on in your life, Jesus is the common thread. And as long as you keep that in mind and remember the Holy Spirit's in charge and yield to the Holy Spirit, everything else is a piece of cake from there. And I've been saved since 86. And till about, February when Roy Fields first came, I was one of those guys. I mean, I don't know how many people here like to sit in the back of the church and quiet. They don't want nobody to know that they're there. They raise their hand. They do everything that Vaughn's supposed to see him do, you know. And basically, like I said, all of a sudden, one day when Roy was here, I never realized worship and praise. I used to mainly come to church for the worship and praise. I mean, for the message. That was the main thing. I never even thought about worship and praise. That was just something that we did to give Vaughn a chance to think about what he wanted to say. But then all of a sudden, one day when Roy was speaking, it just hit me how important, without worship and praise, what Vaughn's teaching is important. But without the worship and praise, that's what gives it life. And I used to worry about putting my hands up because people, you know, I watched some of these people that jump around and dance and everything. And I said, there got to be something wrong with them. Till one day, I did it. And you know what? Being up in the front, that's my corner, in case anybody doesn't know. That's my corner. Worship and praise is, during worship, you got to be there for that. Because if you're not going to be here for worship and praise, you might as well leave for the message. Because without the worship and praise, the message has no life. Even though Vaughn's pretty convincing, you still need to be in the right mode, the right worship and praise in order to accept the message and have it actually sink in. Because if it doesn't sink in, as soon as you go outside and you hit the world, the first person pulls out in front of you or cuts you off or whatever, all the message in the world Vaughn teaches, without it sinking in, is gone. That's only 7 minutes ago. I just had a word to talk about with tithes and offerings. That's something that it took me the longest time to really try to understand, and it's probably only been a couple months now till I really could say I grasp it to the point where, you know, there's important things, like worship and praise is important, tithes and offerings, it's in the same category, because if you can't trust God with 10% of your money, you know, no matter what you think you're accomplishing, you're really not accomplishing nothing. You know, there's a lot of days that we've had no money whatsoever, and we just automatically, just the offering basket was just pass it by. But now the last couple months, ever since I got re-energized or whatever you want to call it, unless we forget, which we've known to, been known to do, the tithe and offering, we always try to make sure that that's the priority. Because if you can't, if God can't trust you with the little things, I mean, how's he going to, if you can't trust you with, say, $100, assuming you make $1,000 a week, everybody, if you can't trust you with $100, how's he going to trust you to raise the dead or heal the sick or anything like that? Because that's really, that's up there. You know, so when the tithe and offering basket comes around, remember, if you don't give, there's no way God can give to you, because the only way God can multiply nothing is you still get nothing. So if you want something back in return, and I'm not saying that's the reason why you should do it, but if you give it, if you give, God will multiply it over and over again. And people will give you money that you have no idea who they are. I mean, I've had people that sent me checks, they insisted they never paid me, and I argued with them that they did pay me. And they said, well, if I did pay you, I'm going to pay you again. And so I'm not going to argue. You can't argue with God's logic, because he's in charge. As long as he's in charge, you know. Yeah, and I mean, as far as anointing, God gave everybody in this room the anointing to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to just to cure any disease there is. The only problem is a lot of people are afraid to reach out for it. I mean, it's in everybody here. It's in everybody already. All you have to do is just reach out, and it's right within your grasp. The problem is a lot of people are afraid for whatever reason, whether they're afraid that they'll think that somebody's they think they're showing off, or whatever the case is, what the purpose is, why they're afraid to accept the gifts that God wants to give you. It's sometimes it's just easier to sit in the back of the church and just do nothing. And you come in for your 3 hours, you listen to a couple messages, and you go home, you don't have to do nothing. Well, if you want to become a member of this church, one thing I found out, used to be a commercial years ago about Oldsmobile, and it used to say when the 442 first came out, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. Well, this is not your father's church. I mean, it's your father's church, but not that father's. This is not, you know, if you want to be a member of God's church, I don't mean the Vineyard, but any life, any church that's full of life, anointing, and ready to do anything for God, you got to get out of the pews and help Stacy, help whoever. Mow the lawn, sweep the floor. Just do it. There's so many things in the church that need to be done, and there's so many people. All volunteer. I mean, we've had lists for years, and everybody signs up on the list, but every single time you call, unfortunately, they sign the list in front of everybody. But in secret, they call up, and they find 10,000 reasons why they can't do it. So if you're going to sign up for something from now on, because we took over the host team from Joe Colucci, and we also have the landscaping outside. So anybody who signs up, and some of you will be signed up without you knowing it, you are going to be called, because there's not enough volunteers. So if you're going to be in the church, you're going to be a volunteer, whether we volunteer you or you volunteer you. So you might as well volunteer yourself. At least you get the blessing out of it. Because if I And it's strange, as I was working on this message, I realized something today, which I got to get prayer for it later, because it's something that's really, it was just something that was really strange. I got in an accident 40 years ago tomorrow, and I was actually pronounced dead at the scene of the accident. And it's something that I never realized that was something that's holding me back. There's always that fear, you know, because I was virtually laying along the road for I don't know how long, and before anybody even came, and they said, don't worry about him, he's dead anyway. And I was there we figured out about a half hour before anybody showed up, laying on the road. And if you want to know fear, that's fear. When you're laying there, somebody says you're dead and you're in bad shape. And it's just strange that I'm hoping to take this a new step with a new life. And the anniversary of that, I can't believe it's 40 years ago that I was pronounced dead. And as far as I'm concerned, starting today, forget about even the last 3 months, whatever I was the last 3 months, I want to put it on the record right now that starting tomorrow, that's nothing. I want to be the best Sal that God had wanted me to be starting tomorrow.
So you died on D-Day, eh? 52 years ago tomorrow, my father died. So 52 years ago tomorrow, my father died. So I always remember the 6th. So I just want to give thanks to each and everybody because I told Steve, I said, you ain't not going to let me get on that ship without me saying what I got to say. A few things in my heart, especially I came to church and I absolutely wiped out, exhausted, can't think, can't see, can't talk, can't sit, can't do nothing. Well, I could sit. That's about all I could do. But the glory of God is so refreshing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I just feel so awesome. Okay, first thing I'm going to say is this. Young people, you need to ask God to open your eyes. You're getting stuck in ruts with the words that are coming out of your mouth. Where's the creativity that God gave us? Where's the poetry? Where's the song of the Lord? Where is the voice, the oracle of God? Where is your voice tied into the creator of this world? I want to hear songs written. I want to hear songs written. I want to hear songs out of this move of God. I want to hear a song before my birthday. 2 songs before my birthday. I'm not going to tell you. If you don't know my birthday, you need to repent. Praise God. You don't know where my birthday is. Ask a Frenchman. That's a clue. Okay. So the other thing I want to say is this. It's extremely... Now, while we were worshiping God, God gave me this symbol. Who was here last week for Chuck Gerrard? Okay. Now, he said that he gets lines and words and one... You know, if the Lord created the earth in the whisper... And now he's getting ready to shout, right? Just one line. And then he gets another one and another one. His wife got that line. And then eventually he gets a song. He sent me a song today that's never been published, never been recorded. He sung it last week called Drifting. Did anybody hear it? I so enjoyed it on the way up to the airport. I told him about it. He said, I'll send it to you. And he did. He sent it to me today. It was wonderful. It was such a joy to meet a man who's been singing for God for 39 years, creative words coming out of his mouth. I want to encourage you during worship, don't get stuck on holy, glory, mercy. Come on, folks. Get creative. Where's the worship team? You better be downstairs listening to me, otherwise I'll be running down there with a big stick. Praise God. The Lord, I saw this today, just in vision. As we were worshiping, these words came to me. As your name drips through the rainbow and fills the lakes of earth, to bring the color of all the grass and show the world your birth. Now, that's sweet, isn't it? That's sweet. Now, everyone's trying to get too many, you know, get. How do you think Lennon and McCartney did it? They did it with a false anointing. Surely we can do it with a real one. They accused Lennon and McCartney of plagiarizing other people's stuff and having songwriters for them, but they just tapped into some creative juice. I'm getting tired of these people that can't get... I want you guys to start telling stories. If I catch any of you young married couples reading your kids a story out of a book, I will jam the book in your ear. Are you listening to me? Take all your storybooks and burn them. And make the stories up. Make the stories up. Just go for it. Tell them a story about a butterfly, a kangaroo, and a wombat. And if you can't do that, you need to repent. You have the same spirit in you to raise Christ from the dead, who created the heavens and earth, and you can't make up a story? Please help me, somebody. You see what I'm saying? And this is how, you, some of you want to preach. Well, Sal just showed you how to do it. stands up, ignores his notes, don't have a stinking clue what he's going to say, but he's got the Holy Spirit, praise God. And then no ums and ahs and just goes for it. So I want to encourage you. It's time for you to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus and begin to communicate what's inside of you. Is that okay? All of you who've got a fear of speaking before people, get on your knees right now and repent. Come on. Right now. You have got a fear of speaking in front of people, get on your knees right now and repent. Because I'm tired of that lame excuse that the devil's been sticking in your head ever since I don't know when. But it's nonsense, complete nonsense. It's a great joy. I got a revelation tonight. One of the people that raised me up in the early days, Ruth Heflin, said, it's a privilege to sit on the platform during the worship. You remember the old schoolers, how they all used to sit on the platform during the praise and worship and, you know, the bishop and all that lot. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people of God, people of faith, people of the Spirit, how they all used to sit on the platform. Well, I got such a revelation of it tonight as I was sitting up there and worshiping God. I was releasing my faith into your faith as we were worshiping God together. I understood why they used to do it. They went on the platform on purpose to worship God as a demonstration and as an agreement and looking in the face of God's people, releasing faith, blessing the people, agreeing with their faith, releasing them into all that they can be. And I want to encourage you. It's a great thing. And I just that's why often in the end, all this way we all look at each other is so lame. That's why we get so blessed, is because we're looking at you and you're just looking at me. In the back of people's heads, which is really seriously lame. Okay, one thing I know the Lord spoke to me tonight. I want to read this scripture. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Just want you to listen to it, please. I want you to hear this because I really feel it's a word for us at the moment. The Lord spoke to me this week. By the way, we are now officially Kings Fire International. Hallelujah. Praise God. Appreciate all the work that everybody's done to that, especially Sharon Fletcher, who's been such a blessing to us to do all this legal stuff. But I felt the Lord saying to us, to me, in the last 24 hours, revision. We need to go over it again. We need to go over it again. What half of the things that Steve taught was on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and a lot of us weren't here. He taught some excellent stuff on the anointing and on the glory and on the gifts of the Spirit and the way they work together and everything else. So I want to encourage you, if you think, oh, I've heard him teach this before. No, you haven't. Remember the principle. If you can't teach it, you don't know it. Let me say it again. If you can't preach it, you don't know it. Oh, I've heard that. Can you preach it? No, well, then you haven't heard it. Right? If you can't say it, you haven't heard it. You only listened to it once. So, okay, be ready for revision. It's almost, no, we're not starting again, but there's something in the Spirit has changed gears, and we need to make sure we're laying a good foundation for Kings Fire International. I caught up Overland Missions today just to touch base, see what's happening. I communicated also with Jeff Martin, who's the director of the Rural Pastors Network there in Zambia. And lots of good things happening down in Zambia. They have not yet got also their visas for Angola. So the trip hasn't started yet, but they're working on it still. Please keep them in prayer. It's amazing how quickly we forget people as soon as they're out of sight. Come on, folks. You heard the old adage, out of sight, out of mind. How true that can be, unfortunately. So I want to encourage you. These people are out there laboring for God. Like I said earlier, the scripture is clear. Jesus is not coming back until every nation, every tribe, every tongue has heard. And there are still many tribes in the Amazon and different places in Borneo, different places in Africa. They haven't heard yet. And that's why Overland Missions that reaches, an extreme missions organization that reaches these people way beyond people we can reach, the tribe of America has heard. It's heard. It is without excuse. So let's understand there are other tribes who haven't heard. Now what we got to do is fire America up again so that we can be more effective in everything we do. Okay, this is the verse the Lord It says this: we ought always to thank God for you. And rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. Your faith is growing more and more. Your faith is growing more and more. Let's understand this. Your faith needs to grow. You heard that movie called Faith Like Potatoes? Yeah, well, I like the other one, Faith Like a Fridge. Faith Like a Fridge is better. Have you ever prayed before you open a fridge? You don't, do you? You go, fridge, open, cold water. Right? You don't go, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for cold water. Lord, I bind that spirit of warm in Jesus' name. And Father, I loose the spirit of cold. No, you go up to the fridge, you open the fridge, you grab it, you go. Faith like a fridge. If you've got faith in a fridge, surely you got faith in God. He created the guy who invented the stupid thing. So, you know, every time you go to the fridge, you're going to go, oh, yeah, it works. Or are you one of these people, is the light out yet? You're going to do that too, aren't you? That's called unbelief, like a fridge. Your faith has to grow. We all have an element of faith when we get saved. You are saved by grace through faith. But faith has to grow. And faith comes by hearing. So every time you think you've heard something, if your faith for what you've heard hasn't come, you didn't hear it. It's that simple. Come on, don't get complicated on me. You don't need to make notes for this one. Right? You get in the water, you get out, you're wet. There isn't get in the water and get wet. Not two things, one thing. Water wet. Not water maybe wet. Water I hope wet. No, water wet. Hear faith. No faith, not hearing. Wow. It is good, isn't it? You know, I can't even sell a dozen tapes on that one. Because everyone goes, oh, got it. Fridge, faith. If it's not working for you, you're not hearing it. You're not hearing it. That's what Sal was saying. Been going to church for 20 years and he went, tithing! Oh, right. So he heard it. Oh, praise. Oh, is that what you've been preaching about for 25 years? Got it. You see, he heard it. Until you're doing it, you haven't heard it. The sound of it went out, but you didn't hear it. Which is why the book of Revelation is based on this principle that says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you're not doing it, you're not hearing it. All right, that wasn't bad for a Friday, considering I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm out of here. Your faith, I'm going to Bermuda with my family. I want to encourage you to think about this, right? I had nothing at 47 years old. Nothing. I bought my first house at 47 years old. I had $6,000. Thank God the woman was able to hold the mortgage for me. Ernie, really, the guy I worked with, really helped persuade her to hold the mortgage. Some exorbitant rate, I forget, 10% or whatever it was. But it done matter. I got my foot in the door. 2 years later, I was able to refinance with the bank, lower, et cetera, et cetera. And 7.5 years paid for it. So I want to encourage you in these things. Because you can think what you like. But when it comes to money, Don't argue with me. You can argue with me about the Yankees and the Mets or the Giants and the Jets. But please, if you are not figuring out finances, you haven't heard it yet. You haven't heard it yet. That's why we keep on about it. I was told a few weeks ago, why do you keep on about tithing? We've got it. No, I just heard somebody say they come to church for 25 years and then they went, oh, tithing, I got it. You see how long it can take some people because they can't hear it. But I would really encourage you so that when you turn 60, you can afford to take your wife and five children and two of their wives, nine of you, and pay for them all to go on a cruise to Bermuda. You get my drift? Well, it's actually got an engine. She got it first. Okay, last thing I want to say is this. The Lord spoke to me very clearly tonight. Very clearly, okay? When I tell you God speaks to me, he's spoken to me. When I think could be, yeah, well, I've got this, well, okay. But when I say that I heard God, I heard God. This is what he wants to break tonight. One is the lack of imagination, the eyes aren't seeing. Two, hear it now, poverty mentality. The poverty mentality of the Hudson Valley is sick. It's the only word I can think for it. God, the Bible says, I don't know if any of you could hear me up there. I was being reasonably loud, but I didn't have a mic. The earth is groaning. Are you listening to me tonight? For the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the sons of God take dominion over the earth. Do you understand what that means? See, as an Englishman, I understand dominion. I understand this imperialistic mentality that, thank God, the Americans don't have. I'll grant you that. You know, we're not a nation that's gone out and tried to steal people's countries like the British did. Worked pretty good, actually, but that's not the point. Anyway, I want you to hear this. We were born again to take dominion over the earth. Do you understand that? We were born to get the thorns off of the roses. That's what we were born to do. If you are earning a living by the sweat of your brow, and by back-breaking experiences, you're still under a curse. Now, we were born to work. We were born to tend the garden. Now, what does it mean to you when somebody says, tend the garden? It doesn't sound to me like, oh my God! It's saying, oh, I pull a few weeds. You know? I went out and tended the garden today. Riding lawnmower. That's my idea of tending the garden. Riding lawnmower. And then I went out with my secateurs, trimmed trees, whom the Lord loveth, he pruneth. That's my idea of tending, right? Because I'm not under a curse. Are you with me? Okay, now, there is a poverty mentality in the Hudson Valley, and many of you have still got it. Many of you have still got it. Ooh, I'm going to have to say this. Bear with it. No, don't bear with it. Listen. The dumbest thing you can do in the world is pay rent. Well, actually, the dumbest thing you can do is actually stick your head underwater for 20 minutes. That's dumber. Second dumbest thing you can do in the world is pay rent. And I want to encourage you, if you are stuck still in that mentality, do something about it. Do something about it. Find a way. Ask God. You know, there's this strange mentality. Oh, well, a house is $200,000. And just ask God to give you some creative idea. You shouldn't be paying rent if you're over 40. Come on, don't get mad at me. You should understand that God wants to bless us and give us a way to take dominion over the earth. Being unemployed and you don't want to be unemployed is not of God. Come on, somebody help me here. If you need a job, now I understand there's a time to learn and to abase and abound. Young people, under 30, everything you do until you're 30, put it down for experience. Hallelujah. That's a Vaughanism. But I want to tell you, young people, you need to get some experiences under your belt. You need to be getting out there and seeing something of this world. You need to be doing something different. You need to broaden your thinking, broaden your mind, develop different ways. You need to understand the way the rest of the world thinks. 96% of the world does not live in America. Do you know that? Do you understand that? We may be the greatest country in the world, but we're only 4%. There's a whole bunch of people out there that don't, and we are not the only way to think. And we are not the only way to do. We need to begin to broaden our understanding. God is the Lord of the whole earth. The whole earth. And we need to grasp these things. We need to get a hold of this. Some of you people need to get some adventure in your spirit, man. You need to get some adventure inside of you. Don't you wonder what it's like in Patagonia? Doesn't it ever enter your mind? I wonder what Chile's like. I wonder what Burma's really like. I wonder if I could get into Mongolia if I really tried. Wouldn't be that hard. God, I mean, you often get cheap flights to Beijing, and then I expect I could get a train up there. Oh, maybe I'll ask Vaughan how to do it. Duh, that's a good idea. You see, don't any of you young people think of these things? Don't you have these kind of dreams? Don't you think that there are ends of the earth that haven't heard the gospel yet, and I'm the answer to that? And also, there's people in Kingston, as we've already heard the testimony from Fred. And so I want to encourage you. It's not whether you do go to the ends of the earth or whether you don't leave Kingston. It's whether you get out of your comfort zone and get out of what you're not doing into what you could be doing because God wants to enlarge you. So anyway, your faith must grow. I've got to wrap this up on because Steve's got to let the Holy Spirit blast us before I go away. He's already blasted me, but that was awesome. Because your faith is growing more and more, and the love, somebody say love. Every one of you has for each other is increasing. One sentence, I love it. Your faith is growing, your love is increasing. Your faith is growing, your love is increasing. Your faith is growing, your love is increasing. Why? Because Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, faith works by love. Faith works by love. So let's face it. The whole pivotal reality of this earth is based on John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. Okay, people with poverty mentality. I don't know if you're man or woman enough to stand up and admit it, but I would like you to. Did you not understand my vernacular? People with a poverty mentality, you need to stand up. And all you people who are not sure about it, you need to stand up. Yeah, that's more like it. If in doubt, you are, trust me. There's such a poverty mentality in this upstate New York area. In fact, the majority of Americans have got a poverty mentality. Do you know what I heard today? What was the news item? The guy was, he was talking about, who's that new Nudnik who's doing the late night show? Took over from Conan O'Brien. Did you know he's going to Iraq? I just read it today. He's going to Iraq, do his show live from Iraq in front of the troops. You know why? He said because the recession has taken the news away for what's happening with our troops. Did you hear that? The number one problem in America is a lack of money. Here's my handkerchief. Anyone got a violin? I know I'm being facetious. I'm trying to get my point across. Why are we, the richest, wealthiest, greatest country in the world, stuck in poverty? Can you hear what I'm saying? Where's that coming from? Where's it coming from? We're the wealthiest country in the world, by far. And yet, we are struggling with our finances. I'm not saying there's circumstances. I know there's divorces and stuff. I understand it's broken people up. I realize that. But that's not the point. The point is, if there's a mentality that's stopping you from flourishing and being successful in Christ, then we need to break it. All right? I need some help. And God showed me that Sharon and David is going to help me. So come up, you two. Yeah, come on up. If you don't want to take this mic, I didn't see you get on your knees when I told you. Did you get on your knees when I told you about fear of speaking? But you didn't. Oh, so you didn't have to repent from it then. Oh, good. Now, listen, I want to say this because these are new folks in our midst, and they have really demonstrated to me some true strength in what they want to do for God in the few months I've known them, because they have a big vision and big thoughts and big understandings, okay? Now, I'm going to ask David to pray for you because he's a new believer. He's only, how long have you been coming here, Dave? 2 months? Has it been that long? He's a new believer, but his dreams are way off the chain compared with most of us. So right now, everybody close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit right now that as David prays for you to break this off of your mind, it's not in your spirit, it's in your mind, in Jesus' name. Pray for me.
Lord God, please let every one of these souls here step forward boldly. There is nothing to fear. All they have to do is just walk forward. Everything that they need is already around them. The strength is all around. It is given to us. Freely just walk forward. Do not be intimidated by it. Everything you need, trust in it. It is already there. See it and expect it to be there for you. Have the faith and just step forward.
Lord, thank you that you've given us exactly what we do need, Lord, to follow you and to see, Lord, what you have for us, what you have in store for us. Lord, thank you that you have opened our eyes, that you have given us your word that we can follow and that we can go and reach, Lord, for your purpose in our life. Thank you, Lord, that you have opened the doors for us, that this church and the people here have really led the way, Lord. Thank you for the leadership here, that they have led us by example, Lord, and help us, Lord, to just have the faith and go out and take that step forward, Lord. Let's follow those green lights and go until we've reached what you want for us. In your name we pray.
Amen. Thanks, wonderful people. Okay, what we're going to do, according to what I just heard Dave pray, he said, just step forward. Did you hear that? Yeah. Just step forward. I thought, yeah, that's the way to do it. So tonight we're going to bring the offering for Steve, and we're going to take a step of faith. Some of you that haven't, I know some of you have blessed Steve, and I know somebody's given $1,000, and some youngsters have given him $500. You don't have to give it all at once, but let's make a decision about sowing into this man's life. Our lives have been changed because the consistency of his walk with Jesus Christ, he's a gift from God. And I want to honor that gift that's come to this house and changed everything about us. So please, you can write your checks out to King's Fire International. Hallelujah. Or the Vineyard, it doesn't matter. You can do both right now. But we're going to bring the offering. We're going to place it on that Bible or in that basket. Thank you, sir. We're going to place it in that basket because that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a step of faith in Jesus' name. So come on, let's do it. Hallelujah. Come marching, come shouting, come praising God. Come writing your checks big. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. I hope nobody's going to be empty-handed. Praise God. Even if you come and join us. Commercial break.
Hey, how many people here have been to the Spring Fest in the past? It's been great, right? It's been a lot of fun. Well, we're having another one, and it's the 14th after church, and we're going to have a lot more fun. But we need a lot of hands to help. We need a lot of help. You guys are listening, right? Have ears to hear, because we need to do this. We need people to make food, because we're going to all want to eat and have a good time. We need people to help set up. We need people to help tear down. We need people to work in the kitchen, and we need people who are the 14th, June 14th, Sunday after church. And we need people just to help and be around to do whatever's needed that we didn't put on the list. So there are sign-up sheets downstairs for all of those events, and we hope to see your names on it. And like Sal said, don't sign up and not show up, because Sal will be watching.
Yes, he will.
Tomorrow afternoon, to get ready for the Spring Fest, we're ripping out the vegetable garden out in the back, and we're moving the kids' area to where you can actually see what the kids are doing. And we need some bodies tomorrow. It's going to be after the school, because school is more important than the garden. So after the school, bring your old clothes, and we're going to work on getting the swing set moved, get the fence down, and get it where it'll be set for the Spring Fest.
Yeah. Imagine if everybody straight from the school went out there for 1 hour, how much would get done? Amen? Be done in 30 minutes, according to this man. If it isn't, make him work twice as long. Listen, next week at the Spring Fest, the best part is going to be the dunk tank. And I'm going to be one of the targets. You will have the opportunity of dunking me in the water. But I've just put up my price. It was going to be $5 for 3 balls. No, it's going to be now $10 for 3 balls. Are you listening to me? Because I'm not having you lot thinking you are going to dunk me that cheap. The money is going to the Jamaica team. So you better cough up. Let's all stand. Let's stretch our hands. Let's lift our hands to heaven and welcome Steve and give thanks for him as he comes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's clap over your head, in other words.
That's good, man. You're great.
Well, good evening. Hello. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach for half an hour now. He's going to say a few things about revival. Then we're going to see it. How's that? And just in that mood tonight, little G wanted to say something. Come.
I don't know about you, but I've been too quiet for way too long. I've always had an excuse. I'm only 13. What can God use me for? But he is going to use me in a great, great way.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. That's what revival does. Just touches people's lives, just keeps touching people like that. And they're very real things. People look at it and think, that's all emotionalism. No, it's God touching our emotions, but it's touching our spirit first. And people's lives, when they make public confessions like that, it changes their lives forever. And that's what it's really all about. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's marvelous. And it's great and all that sort of thing, you know. Anyway, John chapter 3 is just scripture that I'm using, because every now and again, I really liked what Vaughn had to say, and a lot of things he said were great, but you know, just certain things highlight, and one of them was about the revision, and he was talking about earlier today about it as well, and because it's true. I mean, if from what Vaughn has been saying to me, if I've been speaking on things of the anointing and the glory and the power that is being a revelation to him, and he's been in ministry for 30 odd years, whatever, or more, then how do I think that you are getting it all in the schools of the Spirit and when I preach every now and again? I tend to gloss over things far too quickly because I think I'm boring you. And people say, no, you're teaching stuff we haven't heard before. And that's not surprising because a lot of churches around the world, nobody ever talks about the anointing, the glory of God, the power of God. They never break it down where people can reach a hold of it. And if I think I'm just going to get that through to you in a few months, it's got to be a revision. So I'm going to be doing the same things. Vaughn's away with his family on a well-deserved break. And so he's just asked me to take Saturday night, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'm going to be doing a lot of revision on some of the stuff that has been highlights of the revival so far on the infilling of the Spirit to be led, to be empowered, and the glory of God, what it means, and attack it from a different angle, and that sort of thing. Also, I'm speaking at the Flaming Women's on Wednesday. Oh, sorry, Women's Aglow. In Australia, we call it the Flaming Women's. So if anyone here a part of Women's Aglow, thank God for that. But they're a good bunch. Wednesday at 11 o'clock at, some hotel. Holiday Inn, yeah. They've asked me to speak on the anointing. So some of you ladies want to go. Use Diane and Rick, pastors in the church. I'm sure she'll be here sometime this weekend. If you want to book in, it'll do you good to go. If some of you guys want to go, I suppose you could borrow your wife's dresses and show up. That might be all right. But no, it's not for guys, it's for gals. I don't know if I want to preach to a whole bunch of ladies. Guys can go? Yeah, get a few guys. Come along and support me. Quit your job. I don't care. I'm not going there by myself. You'll go with me, will you? He'll hold my hand. Yeah, you'd look nice in a nice dress, Dave, if you can come with me. But, that'll be good. And then all this weekend, I'm just going to be talking on those lines. So please come back tomorrow night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. While Vaughn is away on a cruise ship. And believe me, he won't think about us at all. Anyway, John chapter 3, this is my favorite scripture, I think, in the whole Bible. Verse 8, it says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit." This scripture is the foundation to any revival you can ever have. Because it's all about the wind blows wherever it pleases. It's talking about the wind of the Holy Spirit. And it's using a natural phenomena of, if you're out in the woods and you're just looking at a tree and its branches and leaves, and when the wind rolls up, you don't really know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but you can hear its sound. And you see the effects of that wind blowing in the tree or maybe knocking a few branches down if it's strong enough. But you don't know where it's going. You don't know where it's coming from. You can have a guess, but it could change just like that. But you see the effects, and it sows everyone, it says here, is born of the Spirit. We see the effects of the Holy Ghost. We see His great demonstrations of power. We see Him as He develops the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and the way He brings people into the kingdom of God, the way He touches people's lives like G and many of us, you know. But they're the effects. But we don't know where He's going. Some people have said, we've been going now, it must be 17th week, it must be getting up close to that now. I've lost time, track. But I dare say, in all the meetings we've had, especially the ones I take on the Friday and Sunday night, no two meetings have been identical. No two meetings have been the same. It's that incredible presence of God, but you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know whether I'm just going to stop talking here now and the Holy Ghost just moves, or whether I'm going to talk for another 10 minutes. Who knows? I don't even know. But, you know, that's the way it should be. All I know is what God's been saying to me is that I've got to start demonstrating what I'm preaching. So too often we preach and then we have an altar call right at the end, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how about if you're making a point on healing? Well, just stop and get people healed right there and then. Then, you know, you got a whole bunch of bodies on the ground, then you move on. And like we did the other Sunday, where Vaughn was out here prophesying over people, I was talking about impartation and all that sort of thing. And the Lord said to me, well, get them up there now. Don't wait to the end, because they'll have forgotten what you said about that point at the end. And things like that, we've got to demonstrate. This is revival. It's not church. That's why we're calling it the King's Fire International. It's going to spread to the world, guys. By the way, welcome all those on webcam. It's good to have you with us. There's a lot of people that watch webcam in Australia, in England, and various parts of America. Because we've got a new system up there where we don't know exactly now how many are watching. Sometimes it lets us know the local number of people. But I know there'll be at least 20 watching from Australia tonight. I only know that because they email me and say, that froze again tonight. Will you get it fixed up? Those on webcam, we're doing our best. We're going to upgrade it. We're going to pay more money per month and get that thing working properly. And real soon, whoever's doing all that, because it's embarrassing when they keep telling us it's not working all the time. And we've got a good bunch of people out there watching, which is helping keep this thing going worldwide, even that's a little thing like webcam, because we're going to be planting churches in a lot of these nations what people are watching from, you know, and we're going to be doing a whole bunch of things, so it's important that we get this thing up and running right. And so if those on that technical thing, I know you're doing your best, but do a little bit better, and if you have to upgrade, let's upgrade. If it's going to cost $100 a week, a month you can't afford, I'll play for the jolly thing, I don't care, we just got to get it done. And okay, that's a little bit of Vaughn coming out of me. I'm a bit of a passive sort of a guy, as you can tell. But when you work with a prophet, you become very... Australians, we're very weak people, but you'll get over us. You get used to us. But the wind blows wherever it pleases. It's joking. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it's going, says everyone. So what is revival? So everyone's got their different opinions on revival. What is revival to us? What's happening in here? To some people, a revival is when it's like a Lakeland thing. Everybody just comes from all over the world and bang, you've got tens of thousands of people, or in our case, building packed every night of the week. That isn't necessarily revival. That could be crowd gathering services where there's a move of God going on in healing, which can come and go anytime. That's not a revival. Revival eventually builds up to crowds of people coming in. But what are you going to do with those crowds? God wants us to make disciples. He doesn't mind having crowds, but sooner or later he wants those crowds to be locked in. It's because a lot of people come from dead churches. And in this type of revival, some of your churches you come from, you may be able to take what you learn here and get imparted to you and bring it back there. But in most cases, in my experience, traveling the world at 28 years in this ministry, it don't work that way. Because unless you change the leadership, unless the pastors are coming here, you can get as fired up as you like. You're not going to change diddly squat when you go back. I gave you a testimony a few weeks ago of some friends of ours, of Cheryl and myself, who got touched mightily in a series of, I wouldn't call it revival, it was very strong meetings. Wasn't enough time to break into revival. Just a few months ago, or maybe 4 months ago now, before coming here, within a few weeks of coming here, they got mightily touched by God in a meeting. And under my ministry, and they went to their church the next day, and the lead pastor was away, but the associate pastor got him up to testify, because he said, "You're so different, you're glowing, what's happened to you?" He said, "Oh, we just went to a meeting last night with this evangelist from Australia, and blah, 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 we got mightily touched by God." And people in the church of about 80 people, could see this couple, because they'd been a part of that church for a lot of years. They said, "We want what you've got." And they just started coming out. And people were just coming up, walking towards them, and they're just falling out under the power of God. So strong was the glory of God, because they got hit the night before on the Saturday night. This is the Sunday morning back at their own church. And it was like the move of God started in that church straight away, and the associate pastor was all for it. The pastor got back off holidays 4 days later, called them into his office, and said, "What you did was totally inappropriate. I don't believe in all that stuff. I want you to leave my church before you cause too much trouble." And they got kicked out of church. So, well, what about your associate pastor? We didn't. It was the people come to us. We were asked to come up and testify. So I don't care. You're going to be trouble. Get out. Perfect example. People mightily touched by God. The leadership stopped it. God always honors headship, whether it's right or wrong. After a while, he'll remove the headship. But what's going to happen in this revival, a lot of people are going to come here, and they'll stay in their own churches for a while, and you're more than welcome to do that. You can come and go from this revival as often as you want. That's fine. But I'll tell you the trouble you'll have when this thing really heats up. And if your pastors aren't really for it, they'll start warning and cautioning you. But what I'm talking about is, if this is God and if this is changing your life, what the heck are you doing somewhere else? Simple as that. That's a pretty bold statement to make. But if you are in a church that's embracing this sort of stuff, great. You can do both. But a lot of you will find at some point in the next 6 months to a year, if not sooner, you'll have to make a choice. Because we're not just talking about nice meetings every week. We're talking about building apostolic prophetic Christianity. This whole thing's going apostolically. This church, King's Fire, now relates to an apostolic council, which Vaughn and myself and one other will be coming on soon. And then we relate to be accountable to others out there who are apostolic in their own ministries. One, Dr. Leon, you know him. and he's a great guy. But you know, but we got to understand that this is now a move of God starting. It's not just a name change. This thing is going to go worldwide, and there's going to be churches planted everywhere. But those churches won't be in submission to this church. They'll be in submission to the apostolic council that by then might have 10, 15 on it, consisting of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not taking me by surprise. Vaughan's moved apostolically for a lot of years, and for 28 years I've moved apostolically and worked with teams of men that have had 70,000 churches all relating to that one team of apostles. 70,000. 70,000. Now they've got over 100,000. How's that possible? Well, you keep extending the team. You can go to any, they have conferences all over the world, and 10,000 will show up there and 3,000 here. All ministers and leaders. It's phenomenal. Not one rule and regulation, all based upon the Word of God. Each church is encouraged to have their own incorporations, their own. They've got to do it themselves. It's not a mother-daughter church principle, which is totally unbiblical. It's a base church, a resource center that sends out people out there, but if they don't want to flow with you anymore, they can do it. We've got no hold over them, apart from apostolic authority, which is invited, not imposed. That's New Testament. And so anyway, it's just the beginning stages of it all, and so Vaughan's got a dual role at the moment. He's the leader, apostolic team leader. He's also the lead visionary of this church, along with its pastors that have been set in place now. And I am just a guy who comes and preaches and goes home and watches telly. Not quite. Not quite at all. It's I've just got my job to get these revival fires going. So what is revival? I don't care what it is out there. Listen to what it is in here. Revival is simply falling in love with Jesus all over again. That's it. Presence of God touches you in worship. The presence of God touches you here. It touches you there. That's what it's all about, falling in love with Jesus all over again. It's falling in love with His Word again. It's no good falling in love with Jesus. If you really have done, then you'll fall in love with His Word, because He is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You'll find that in John chapter 1, whatever verse Vaughan will know. He's a walking encyclopedia. But you know, so falling in love with His Word again. It's a new beginning of obedience to God, where you begin to take seriously when God speaks to you, you do it. If He tells you in the middle of the meeting to jump up and stand on your chair and yell out hallelujah, you do it. Well, that's different. Well, there you go. Anybody else want to do anything? We knew you'd have to blow your horn. Who else? I know there's an anointing here for people to do seemingly stupid things right now. Obey Him right now. Oh, you lousy lot. Who was that? I'm not going to stop until you people obey. I don't know what He's telling you to do. There you go. Someone, God's telling others to go for a run. Yes! Somebody else. I'm telling you, God's telling people to do stuff. To glorify Jesus. How's that glorifying Jesus? Because you obeyed Him. Bible talks about running with the fire of God. That's all that is. It tells us to, doesn't tell us to jump on our seats, but tells us to jump before the Lord. So they got on their chairs. Who cares? Come on, there's an anointing here. I ain't going to go until you obey. That's what revival's all about. It's not sitting there like a bunch of prunes waiting for me to do it all. You do it. In Jesus' name, I command you to. I'm telling you. I'm not meaning to be. If you're going to do it properly. Yell it out. Do that again, those two people. Whatever you just said. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
That's good. What about you at the back there? You didn't do it again.
Hallelujah!
Sounds good. Come on, Pastor Don. I know he's putting something on your heart to do. Just do it now.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He got a Jesus. Someone can top that. You're looking at me as if I've gone mad. I haven't got. Hi, Val. How you going? I haven't gone mad at all. It's just an atmosphere to do something right now. Where's the evangelistic type? You'll go quiet in these meetings. I don't reckon you're hot stuff on the streets at all. I think you're making it up. Come on, Brian, what's God telling you to do? Don't sit there like a nice little boy. He's going to do it now. I shouldn't have put the challenge out to him. Oh! You have to do better than that to knock me down. You see my nice little martial art move then? Just moved him away from me. Sorry, Brian. They asked me would I like to be dunked too, can't they? Yeah. They want to dunk me, no way in the world. I'm too competitive. I'll get angry. If you hit the thing and I go in the water, I'll get out and chase you. I'll do it for $100. If anybody's willing to pay $100 to Jamaica for 3 hits at me, I'll do it. No less than that. Any more than that, I'll put up to 1,000. Hey? Well, this is different. It's a new beginning of obedience to God. It's allowing the Holy Ghost to adjust our lives and make Jesus Lord of our lives. This is what revival's all about. He just gets rid of all the junk in our lives and Christ becomes central theme. He becomes Lord of our life again, where we'll do what He wants and submit in every area of our life. It's easier to submit to God in church and around friends. What are we like when nobody's around? What are we watching on telly? What are we watching on the computer when nobody's around? It's things like that that God's looking at. You know, what are you like when you're with your unsafe friends? Are you double-minded? Are you too scared and too gutless to tell people that you're a Christian? Because you'll never get freedom in your mind and your heart until you say, I'm a Christian and this is why I serve Jesus. I want to be your friend, but if you can't accept that, goodbye. Unless you do that, you'll amount to nothing in your life, I'll tell you now. And that's what revival, it helps you to do that. But you've got to make the choice. I'm living for Jesus. And some of you go through problems. I'm not living in victory in your mind and your life because you play two sides of the fence because you're too gutless to stand up for Jesus, yet He died on the cross for you. Amen. Paid the ultimate sacrifice for you. You're too scared to stand up for Christ because you're worried about what people will think about you. Give me a break. Okay. It's fresh fire falling upon us again. The fresh fire of God, that anointing coming upon our lives again. It's to hunger for His presence. That's what this revival's doing. It's to have a passion for the lost. You know, I mean, miracles happening. You get Fred getting up and what happened there that some of the guys on the street just witnessed to happen to be his daughter. As a result of that, she comes along on Sunday and things are getting restored with her and her dad and she'll come back and she'll get full on. Don't you worry about that. Notice when it's testifying, Brian wasn't sitting there saying, yes, I'm good, fell straight to his knees and started crying because he realized it was God working through him. And that's what it's all about. That's what revival does. It ain't about us. It's about letting Jesus just flow through us. It's that passion for the lost. So how do we enter into revival? For some of you, you have no trouble receiving. For some of you, it's so easy. But for some of you, you're not against it. You haven't got a religious spirit. You haven't got a hardened heart. You just do not know how to receive. You don't know. You're not too sure about all the falling under the power because you've never experienced it. Well, you've come this far. Let God touch you. Open up. You know, the only way you're going to get from point, I was listening to a lady at the front, she says, I know I'm holding back. How do I overcome it? Because I just felt to lay hands on her. Some people I feel to be very gentle with. Others I feel like giving them a kick in the pants. But most people nowadays, I just feel like, no, they're sincere. They've come tonight, but they don't know how to receive. And so she just asked me, I'm wanting to receive, but something's holding me back. And I said, well, it's not a demon. It's just maybe your upbringing, the church you're from. Might be your personality. Listen, just open up. You're too worried about falling down. There's a helper behind you. If you can receive from the ministry of Jesus through my hand, then and you can remain standing, great, I'm happy with that. But the anointing is bottlenecking at me. It's going into you and coming back at my hand. I'm a different sort of minister. I feel it. And if it, and I feel it like energy going from my spirit through this, using my left hand, goes into a person. And if it's not, if you're not receiving, it's bottlenecking back at me. And I feel like an Irish evangelist. I feel like I'm going to pray for you and I fall down, you know. And, you know, and she got it. I knew she got it. And then I laid hands on her head again. I felt the anointing flowing and bang, she was just out to it. Listen, people say, well, I've got a strong, I'm used to strong anointing, so you'll have to have a strong anointing to knock me down. What a bunch of arrogant, prideful, piggish thing to say. That's got nothing to do with it. The more stronger you are in God, you'll just have to pick up a little bit of anointing and it'll put you down. We're talking about the awesome. We're not talking about being pushed or psychosomatics. We're talking about genuinely being touched by God. Why do I talk this way? Because it's a large part of this revival, people falling down under everywhere. Why? You've heard my story, because that's how I came to Jesus. Men of God laying hands on me, falling under the power of God, and I'm lying on the floor under a tremendous power. My mind's thinking, I don't even believe in this. I spoke against this in the dormitory of the camp just before I came here. And that's, and my prayer life went from a few minutes to 3 hours a day, waiting on God in silence, following the glory of God in my spirit. You try and pray for 3 hours without falling asleep, without your mind wandering, and you don't mutter one word. And into an intense glory. That happened for me for years. And another man of God prayed for me a few months. I went to 5 hours a day. It's a supernatural experience. I can still do it now. I haven't quite gotten back up to 3 hours in silence. I've got back to about 2 hours a day again now. I don't say that to brag. I've got to get back. I'm nowhere near where I should be. No excuse. I've got the time. I've got to get back there. Not back. I've got to get back there in my weight too. That'd be helpful. But anyhow, you know, so because I had those experiences, obviously I'm going to minister out of my experience. And some other minister can just speak a word over you. You'll get it. You can be sitting there in your seat. Somebody else will just lay hands on you and you'll feel a touch of God and you might even get healed or set free and nothing happens on the outside. You just walk away. Because people, I've got different gifts. But on my gift, I've got to feel it. And I'm telling you, most people I pray for will hit the deck. Not because I intimidate them. I could get people up here testifying right now who weren't sure of it because they've told me. But they opened themselves up and they felt the power of God knocking them to the floor. And some people don't even lay hands on. Like the other Sunday night. I mean, Chuck Gerrard, who brought contemporary Christian music single-handedly in the 70s, 68, late 60s and early 70s, and and guys like Keith Green, who came along a little bit later on. But Chuck Gerrard is known as the father in the faith of gospel music. We've got all our contemporary songs now that we sing, and if it wasn't for him sticking his neck out and getting the church out of just playing an organ and hymns, we'd never have what we have today. I'm amazed how he's not honored more because of that by some of these younger fellas who have got great gospel singing ministries today. But anyway, I'm sure that'll come. But he's sitting up there on Sunday night. Vaughn felt I should move in the power of God. Vaughn said a few things to get it going. And I got up here and I thought, oh, well, he's my hero in the faith, this guy. He led me to Jesus in the 70s, his music did. So that's how special he is to me. And I've always had incredible respect for his. I've even patterned my worship after his voice and singing. And but anyhow, that's another story. But there's all these young people from there right through. I don't know, 15, 20 all lined up there. I got them all to very lightly join hands. I said now, they all fell down and most of them instantly bursting out laughing. And then a lot of the other people, I was hardly laying hands on them. And he said to me, I thought, oh, I've blown it with him now. I think I'm showing off in front of him or he think I've gone crazy. But he said to me when he wanted to eat, so I took him out to supper. He said, can you teach me how to do that, Steve? I would love to learn how to do that. He said, I witnessed it was God. He said, I've only ever seen one other minister do that, and that's Benny Hinn. He says, just the atmosphere that came. He says, you didn't even work it up. Just like that it came. He says, bodies everywhere under the power of God. And you were just so casual about it. He said, how do you do it? Would you teach me how to do that? And he says, another thing, when you start doing your big crusades everywhere, he says, would you let me be your worship leader? And I'll lead all the worship and you go and do your thing. And he says, I'll open up doors for you on my end. He says, if you can, and we'll work together. So here's a hero of mine who I supernaturally bump into him 3 years ago at Sydney Airport when he's on tour over there. That's another story again. But boy, it's incredible what God can do. It comes to this revival at such short notice because he happened to be in the area and Vaughan was gracious to give him the Sunday. And here we are. He loves Vaughn. Reckons Vaughn's one of the best preachers he's ever heard. Because Vaughn just did a little stint of preaching just on the Sunday morning. And it was very powerful what he was saying. But to Chuck Gerrard, and you got to understand, this guy travels the world. He preaches. He gets asked to sing in the mega churches that have got 20, 30,000 people in them. He'll go and sing to 20 people, 10 people in a coffee shop. And so he's been around, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. But he just hasn't quite been exposed to what we're seeing here. You're getting a man like that, and I know that he'll be bragging about what we're doing here in God. Just like Leon is and others. Every guest speaker that's come through here has been very impressed with what they're seeing. Because it's a move of God, that's why. We've got to be so careful we don't get used to it. We've got to keep fresh. Keep inviting your friends. You know, it's time now. I know our next phase, I've said it for a couple of weeks, is signs and wonders and miracles. I'm building in my spirit right now. I'm seeing this place, 150 here on Sunday nights, Friday nights. I'm believing for 10 to get saved in every meeting. I'm believing for 30 to 40 decisions for Christ between backsliders and unsaved people coming between all the meetings. I'm believing for church attendance to increase. I'm believing all these things. I'm building it in my spirit. I'm seeing it in my imagination. And when I start to build it, within a few weeks, it usually starts to happen from past experiences with God. I'll walk around here for hours, a couple of hours actually every morning. Sometimes I'm just waiting on God. A lot of times I'm just walking around building this thing in my spirit. And there's about 10, 15 that are coming to prayer meetings Tuesday to Fridays. You're more than welcome between 6 and 8 o'clock. That's the engine room for what's happening here now, I'll tell you. And there's no great prayer going on. It's not an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Everyone's feeling like they've got to be at the front speaking in tongues loud. If the Lord hits us with that, we'll do it. No problem. But the moment it's just waiting on God, and people are just loving their time with God here because it's keeping an atmosphere of God in this place. It really is. And so that's what this revival is to us. It's falling in love with Jesus Christ. How do we come to this revival? Well, quite simply, if you are inquiring about revival, but you're not 100% sure about it, how to respond to it, I'll give you a few little tips here. If you're here tonight and you believe in what's going on, but it hasn't actually touched you yet, you're inquiring. That's what I mean about inquiring. You're not against it. You're not too sure about it because it hasn't happened to you yet. About revival, but you're not 100% sure how to respond. Here's some tips. Begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield means surrender. All right, all my preconceived ideas, my church, what I've been taught. These are the things I battled when I first started coming to revival as a young man. When I first, it's got to hit you before you. You can't be a revivalist unless you let the revival hit you. It's impossible. If you want people to fall under the power of God, then you better fall under the power of God with other people's ministry. I didn't say do a courtesy fall, but open up. Well, it's got to be strong to knock me down. That's only because you're hard. I just have to walk by somebody and I feel the anointing. If they've got a little incy bit on them, boom, I feel it. Pick it up straight away. Because we've got to be sensitive to that realm. Begin to yield to the Holy Ghost. Pastors in this church, you're all great guys, but you need to be men of the Holy Ghost. You need to be men of pastors. You need to be men who can give words of knowledge, prophesy, wave your hands, see people falling down everywhere, because that's the spirit of where this whole thing's going. That's not knocking any of them, because pastors tend to get too caught up with the governing of the church, and they tend to miss out on the power of God coming upon them, not just coming upon them, but you've been used to do it. It goes for all leaders, worship band, everything. All those involved leadership. We need to be in revival ourselves. And if it ain't come on you yet, press in a bit harder till it hits you. Otherwise, you'll get left behind in this revival. Not because you'll be overlooked by the leadership. You're already a leader. But you'll be overlooked by the Holy Ghost. You don't think he's going to come on people and give them responsibilities if they too aren't being hit with the revival? Now, I understand some of you working through things. That's wonderful. Keep working through them. But keep working through till you get it. It's just the way it is in revival. You telling us we'll have to be cloned and do what you do? No, not at all. Serve God how you like. There's only one way to fall down. You stand there and you say, God, I'm open. I better not do it because I'll start to fall down. But you know, it's true. You open yourself up. You put your mind in a neutral. You go by your spirit and say, I want this experience, God. If it's just about falling down, if that's all you're hearing, well, let's all stand up now, find a bit of carpet and just fall down. Yeah, there's the answer. That's not the answer. I'm talking about yielding to the Holy Ghost, friends. It's the most precious thing. Well, why do I have to fall down? You've told me in 2 seconds you're full of pride. The fact you questioned it and asked, why? Well, I'll put it this way, friend. If you can open yourself right up to God, when there's a powerful anointing, I'm not talking about mind dynamics, I'm talking about a powerful anointing. And if you can close your eyes and say, God, I'm so open to you. And someone with the anointing lays hands on you, and you don't feel it going through, and you start to lose sense of direction, not because some force is on your head from the hand. Well, good luck to you. I don't have too many who can. I had one pastor say to me, you got a great anointing, Steve, but you won't knock me down because I'm too used to the anointing. I said, and I took the microphone away and said, you're full of stinking pride, but I'll be honor you by not telling your people that. And so much gripped him. He felt like hitting me. But after the meeting, he says, you were right. And by the end of that crusade, I was just blowing on him and bang, he was going 3 seats back. He was rolling all over the floor. He's a mad drunk man after that. Because God had to break it in him. It wasn't about falling down. It was breaking that pride in him. And when it comes to the Holy Ghost, you see, a lot of us like to be in control because we've been taught in church, stay in control. Stay in control. Keep your emotions in control. Pastors, don't ever share your weaknesses from the platform. Don't be, because you'll lose respect. Everything's about curse that God of respectability. Because that's all it is. It's not about respectability. It's about God and coming. You have to lose your respectability, friends, if you're going to be touched by God. You have to. If he comes upon you and he just causes you to twirl around, or like Brian, come and rugby tackle me. And he could have done a bit hard, but he's been nice to me. But he still wouldn't have got me down. In fact, nobody could get me down, I'll tell you that right now. But I'd have to hurt you, so don't try. 25 years martial arts, you better know what you're doing with me, even though I'm fat. Anyway, that's all ridiculous. Vaughan would probably have a chance because he's an ex-rugby player. Anyway, forgive me of my pride, Jesus. That's why God told me to stop martial arts 2 years ago. I hate being challenged. I wish he hadn't done that. Now I'm all right. Maybe that's why God got him to do it. I think I've overcome it. Pride's a horrible thing. I thought I was very humble. I've written my first book, Humility, and I obtained it. And I'll have to rewrite it now. Well, Moses was the meekest man on all the earth. My goal is to be the most humblest of all creation. That's, look, for those listening on webcam, I'm joking, all right, you silly people. All right. No, you're not silly. I'm silly for saying it. Anyway, I'm getting a few funny looks from my wife, so let's stick on track here. I'm nearly finished. Don't worry. You've got to begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. You've got to be open. You've got to be willing to step out to receive from Jesus. You've got to be willing to break through your personal barriers. For example, in worship, if you're not used to dancing, well, dance. If you're not used to lifting your hands, lift your hands. If you're not used to shouting, shout. If you're too shy to come to the front with everybody else, break it and come to the front. If you're used to dancing the old kangaroo hop, get a bit more energetic and do a break dance. I don't know, just whatever. If you're not used to responding to altar calls or when someone calls you out to minister to you, get up on your feet and come and say, yes, I'm open to receive. Make that person's job easier. If you doubt falling under the power of God, well, be open. I didn't say just fall down for the sake of it. Be open. That lady would have missed out on a wonderful touch of God here tonight. But she was desperate. She wanted a touch from God, and she got it because she opened up. In giving, trust God, like David was ably saying. Just step out. Trusting totally in Jesus. There's a lot more to revival than that, but they're just basics. It wasn't a great teaching thing tonight, but we've got to just keep refreshing ourselves. Why are we here? Because we're not all there. No, why are we here? Because we're believing God is wanting to do something powerful. Look, once the Holy Ghost does, he's suddenly here, and we really get it. It's like Vaughan said, some people get it 25 years. I hope it doesn't take 25 years, but I don't think I'll be dead in 25 years. But anyhow, we got to understand that it takes time. But the more we open up, the quicker we get it. Because as soon as the majority of people get it, I mean really get revival, this place will be packed every night of the week with a different crowd, with a different worship band up there every night. because of the different crowds. We're going to have three times the amount of ushers we've got now. We're going to have three times the amount of hosts and whatever else we're doing. We're going to have it. You're going to have three times the amount of administration because of this building won't be able to contain what God's doing.